This is Brian Jenkins of Chosen 300 Ministries. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to join us on the web at www.chosen300.org, where you can learn about volunteer activities and also opportunities for giving. You can give by sending us a gift to Chosen 300 Ministries at P.O. Box 95, Ardmore, Pennsylvania, 19003. We also have an option for online giving right on our website at chosen300.org, and we also encourage you to designate your United Way or community giving gifts at your place of employment to Chosen 300 Ministries. This is a big help to our ongoing expense for our mission projects in Center City, Philadelphia. We want to thank you so much for joining to us today, and may God bless you and you enjoy today's message.
There is a name that is so precious, a name so wonderful to me. This name is worthy of all praises because of him. Talking about Jesus, I am made free. That name is Jesus. Oh, how I love him, the one who gave his life for me, because his love is unconditional. I will have life eternally. This name speaks peace unto my storm cloud. This name speaks calm unto my fears. And whenever I feel that no one loves me, his loving presence is so near. That name is Jesus. Oh, how I trust him, the one who gave his life for me, because God's love is unconditional. I will have life eternally. That name is Jesus. Say how I love him. Oh, how I love him. He's the one who gave his life for me, life for me. Because God's love is unconditional. Say, I will have life. I will have life. What? Eternally. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can have life eternally. God's love is unconditional. No matter what you've done, you can turn your cares to the Lord. No matter what you've went through this week, God can still deliver you. God can still forgive you of all your sin, of all unrighteousness. God's love is unconditional. God has no respect to person. God loves you. God loves me. God loves us. Hallelujah. Aren't we glad that we can call him our Father? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is real. Hallelujah. You may be seated if you can. Hallelujah. Lord, I ask you to just touch me, God. God, I ask you to use me, Lord. Lord, use me for your glory. God, I've studied, but I need your help, Lord. And Lord, I've fasted in you, God, but I need you to work through me, God. Hide me behind your precious throne, God, that they may see you, God, and not me, God. Lord, I bow down that you be lifted up, God. God, I just glorify you and ask that through this message today that, God, someone may cry out today, what must I do to be saved, God? It is important that your people get to know you and get to know you in a real way. And Lord, I just pray that each and every one of us here today would just open up our hearts, our minds, our ears, just to hear what your word has said, that we've not come here today just for any form or fashion, God, but we've come to do nothing but get your name out, God, that you may be glorified and that you may be praised, Father. And we glorify you because you alone are worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise, God. And I magnify your name, God, and I glorify your name, and I praise your name on this morning, God. And I ask that you would hide me, God, and that you be glorified. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. We thank my brother Pope, for reading that scripture so beautifully from 2 Kings. Amen. Amen. It's something to be on fire for the Lord. And, you know, it's like Jeremiah. The fire is just shut up. You're not going to tell anybody, but you can't keep it to yourself how good God has been to you. Hallelujah. Especially when you've gone through so many things and you just don't know, like I know, what the Lord has done for me. In 2 Kings chapter 5, I just want to recap on that, verse 10 through 14. It says, and Elijah, he sent the messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, he was upset, and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. And are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage, and his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't sweat the small stuff. Naaman. Naaman was a commander of the army of the king of Aram. But Naaman was diseased. He had a skin disease called leprosy. He was told that the king of Israel could heal him. But when the letter was sent to the king of Israel by the king of Aram to heal his servant Naaman, the king of Israel was angry just because that he knew that he was nobody's healer, but that only the God of Israel was able to heal Naaman. When the prophet Elijah heard this, he asked that Naaman would be sent to him so that he would know that there was a prophet in Israel. Elijah knew that Naaman to be a proud man, but he was the one that was going to let him know that before the God of Israel, all men stand upon the same level. There's no big eyes, there's no little U's, but all men are equal in the sight of God. The message came to Naaman from the prophet Elijah to wash in the Jordan 7 times. But of course, Naaman, he complains because he wanted Elijah to do something that was supernatural to the human eye. He wanted him to wave a wand and, and look at something supernatural to say that now am I to perform the work to heal you. But how many know it wasn't all about Elijah, but it was because of God that Naaman was to be healed. Hallelujah. He even complained about the river that Elijah instructed him to dip into. It says it here in verse 12, are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than the waters of Israel? He was not looking for God to heal. He was looking for man to heal. Many believe that becoming a Christian, it takes doing somersaults, backhand springs, cartwheels, splits, dive rolls, what have you. Well, technically it does. Why is that? Because we are to serve the Lord God with gladness. We are to serve Him with all of our hearts, our minds, our body, our spirit, and our soul. We are to give God all that we got. I'm going to ask you a question. How many standing here today or sitting here today believe that you would be standing still in a basketball game of your favorite team? Who believe that you might be standing still in your favorite concert? I would think none. Amen? But when God asks us to do something, all of a sudden we might have a problem or a situation or a reason why we can't serve the Lord, why we can't do what God is telling us to do. God asks you to do something, we have excuses of why we cannot serve Him the way that we should. And even at times, we miss out on God's promises because we are so busy complaining about the small stuff. It takes more than prayer to the Lord. It takes more than coming to Sunday worship. Yes, it even takes more than building your integrity. But it takes commitment and serving God. God requires us to live righteous. God requires us to live holy. He wants us to learn of Him and that we may spread the good news of Jesus Christ. This is what God is asking us to do, but yet we complain on what we cannot do when God isn't asking something so great but to serve Him and bless His name and tell of His goodness. Psalms 37 and 5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. But don't just make a commitment. You got to also trust in the Lord and believe that He's going to work it out on your behalf. And the only way to trust in the Lord is to believe in God. But the only way to believe in God is to have faith in God. And what do we have to do in order to have faith in God? Well, Romans 10 and 17 says, so then faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. John 12 and 32 says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Finally, we often do the obvious and we wait until the rough gets rougher. Why is it that when your flesh has been disturbed with the trials and the tribulations of life, then we are content to do something, to submit to something, to part with anything that God wants us to do? Because now it's the time in our lives that we need the Lord. It's sad to say that it is until then and only then that our hopes for some of the things that we have been asking for does come to pass, because that's the time that we finally realize that we need to pray and ask God and give Him our petition. But God is so merciful and He's so just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all righteousness. Any human being would not do that. Imagine that someone was using you and abusing you and never looking your way when you needed them. Then all of a sudden they go through something and then they turn around and then they need your help. How many of us can honestly say that we would help them? Some of us would give them the hand, tell them to get out of our face. You use me then, why you need me now? I am so glad that the Lord God is a God of mercy. I'm so glad that He's a God of grace. I'm so glad that I can call Him when I need Him. Because God will answer me when I pray. Hallelujah. Oh, it's all right to give God praise for His goodness and His mercy. Hallelujah. Yes, Naaman was leprous of the flesh. But no, Naaman didn't appreciate being healed of leprosy. But many of us today, we have leprosy, but not just leprosy in the flesh, but leprosy in the spirit. I call this leprosy a leprosy of sin, because more than anything, we walk through sin daily. We don't do what we need to do when it comes to doing right, but we're sinning daily and we're being eaten up within our flesh. And we don't know how to turn it around. But I'm telling you now to turn that situation around, to cure that leprosy of in the spirit, is to serve the Lord, to give your heart to Him, to love Him no matter what, to do His will. The more that we continue to live unrighteous, the more that we continue to live unfaithful, the more that you continue to ignore God's commands, the further away that you'll find yourself from God. You can forget that eternal life. We all want to know what it takes to get there. What it takes to get there is the more that you follow God's commands, the more that you walk in His ways, the more that you study His word, your eyes will begin to open and you will begin to see. And you will know the real meaning of life. Why? Because Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. You'll begin to take off that old man and you'll be able to replace it with the new. I am so glad that God tells me in His word that He will throw our sins in the sea of forgetfulness. So if God can forget it, no man can tell me or remind me of my past, because God forgave me of all my sins. So I can bless His name and I can go forth in the name of Jesus. We're like old beat up houses. Right now, we could be like old beat up houses and we could be ran down. We can never be knocked down, but the inside of us can be gutted out and redesigned with the fruits of the Spirit. And those fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Why love? Because the love of God is so great that the Bible says in John 15 and 13 that greater love has no man than this, than a man that lays down his life for his friends. Why joy? Nehemiah 8 says, for the joy of the Lord is my strength. Why peace? Romans 5 says, therefore being justified by faith, we have the peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why long suffering? And for 1 Peter it says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Why gentleness? Psalms 34 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. Why faith? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Why meekness? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Why temperance? I won't be entangled with the affairs of this life, but I'm going to stand steadfast and unmovable to what is required of me. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18, it lets us know, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man, it may perish, your inward man, as you get into this word, as you begin to read the word of God, and you begin to take in, and you'll take on that form, and know nothing by any means can tear you down. Nothing by any means. Our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction is only for a moment. One moment. If you can just have a little patience in God, if you can just wait on Him, don't look at your current situation right now, but look at God, and God knows your time of season. He knows the day. He knows the hour. He knows everything that you're going through. Just wait on it. God says, for our light affliction is only for a moment. It worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So let's not look at the things which are seen. Don't look at it right now. Don't look at it in your natural eye. But God wants us to look at the things which are not seen. You know, in order to serve the Lord, we have to have faith. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But we have to know that God is able to do it, and we have to trust in Him. Amen? For our light affliction, it says, it's for a moment. It worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, we're looking at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. He says the things which are seen are temporal. It's only for a moment. And that includes us. That includes your flesh. You're doing everything while you're here. But when it's time for you to look at the Lord and tell him, Lord, I want to make it through that gate. And he looks at you and he says, depart from me, for I never knew you. Then we're wondering why. He's been sending ministers, he's been sending preachers, he's been sending regular people on the street to tell you who he is. And time again, we ignore it. So in the end, we cannot look at God in the face and be able to say, Lord, I've done all that I could do. Now is the time to serve him, because your flesh is going to perish, but your spirit and your soul will live eternally. How many believe that? He said the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Well, praise the Lord. We hope you enjoyed today's mission message for today. We encourage you once again to sow a seed of faith into this ministry. We are the ministry that is uniting the body of Christ to reach the world, to help the homeless and less fortunate. We also encourage you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. for our Sunday morning worship and breakfast. And again, any volunteer opportunity, they're located on the website at chosen300.org, where you can participate in helping the homeless and less fortunate. May God bless you and may heaven smile upon you.